hosting his attorneys and all that.
Launch Talk Radio.
You think they really ready for you? Nah. You think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. You think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking, Chris, shrinking. Nah, I just don't brag about the deals I've been inking. Honorary degrees from Lincoln. I cross borders like Mohicans and do albums in a weekend. I'm hip hop speaking, never the weakling. I'm the truth, man, so what are y'all speaking? Them lies and them liars, I still make flyers. I still ride bands and say MC for hire. I'll spit the fire anywhere, any place. Mama never told you to stay out of grown folks' face. Then you got them rappers with that cold broke face. They torn around the world, then they going no place. My KRS One moves at his own pace. On vegetable oil, no gas, no waste. Then you got these intellectuals, really they're sexual, but they wanna remain respectable. Stop fronting.
Do you think
they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Thinking me, I say impeccable, running circles around these intellectuals. What a spectacle. They get mad when I say I and God are identical. You better get on your knees and praise them. These conspiracy theory rappers, I'll blaze them too. Ooh, deja vu. You seen this all before, me slaying your crew. I'm known by all the kids. I studied Dr. King, man, and all he did. People don't stop calling Chris for gigs, cause when I'm on the mic, man, I flip they lid. Me getting booed? Shit. I can't even count all the dough this month I did. From coast to coast, we roasting toast. I'm hot. Me and the ice can't get close.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Revolutionaries know the game. We take away the pain like Novocaine. Knowledge reigns supreme, you know the name. This the name that don't play all them games. I ain't gonna call no names or take away no fame, but the airwaves is a shame, and the public don't know who to blame. So they blame rappers like we're insane, like we are to blame for society's pain, like they don't know for sure what's in our brains. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Same style oppression, socially rearranged. Many of our problems we already overcame, but we stuck in the past, can't see the change. Stuck in the Hyundai, can't see the range. Stuck in the towers, can't see the planes.
Do
you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah. Do you think they really ready for you? Nah. Do you think that there'll be many of you? Nah. Do you really think they ready for you? Nah.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see twilight land gleaming?
man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and sing, till it in heaven ring, ring with the harmony. Oh, let our rejoice and rise high. Burning the loud as the Lord's sea.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our home ownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsyl.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as $20 a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a National Network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
Three four 7-8-3-8-9-8-2-5. What's going on, everybody? We're going to do a little tribute to Nas. We might have my man Mike Flo on tomorrow. He's going to be in Chicago. We're going to try to get him on tonight and see if we can get him to come to our little seminar. We got little classes. We have classes here in the Shy during the summer with students. We can see if we can get him to come to a couple of classes that we got going on. See if we can get him a lot. Anyway, we're going to be doing a tribute to Nas. Let's go right to the tribute to Nas.
Letters that spell God.
They had a certain something. Nas was the boy wonder. He spoke the language of the ghetto.
Disciple, my raps are trifle. I shoot slugs for my brain just like a rifle.
You'd have to be brain dead not to know that kid was a genius.
They chased one goal relentlessly.
I'll never forget this. He said, I want to be a rapper.
I know I can.
He said that, you know, I want it all.
Through struggles.
Now, this best friend, Willie Brand,
wound up getting shot.
One of the dudes pulled out a gun and shot him 3 times in the back.
I really expected Nasir to just go straight downhill from there.
And setbacks.
His mom was real ill.
I just remembered her constantly encouraging him to work hard and, you know, not to worry about her. He knew that he had to do that for her.
Let's go!
Some people are just driven. A young MC's defiant pursuit of superstardom.
Hey.
He decided to distance himself away from everything that was going to keep him from his ultimate goal.
He said, yo, it's either music or I'm going down. There's no other exit out.
Never before seen images, stories, and revelations from the people who know what really happened.
Nas was being attacked.
The Jay-Z just came from left field.
I was like, damn, Nas, like, damn, they're old.
Brace yourself for the main event.
Because they lived it with him.
Nas came back and he spoke his mind.
Check it out, put your soul like ether.
He stood up like a man and faced it. It was about, yo, I'm Nas, dog.
You a fan, a phony, a fake.
Don't forget who I am.
This is Driven, Nas.
Nasir Jones was born September 14th, 1973,
at Brooklyn Jewish Hospital.
Yo, the world is yours.
As a baby, I can always remember Nas always having a smile on his face, always looking like he's up to something. I do think that it was something about him where he kind of stood out.
Check me out, y'all.
Everybody seemed to be drawn to him.
This is a journey into the world's most largest and notorious project, Queensbridge.
We moved to Queensbridge when Nas was 3 or 4 years old.
This is the place where stars are born.
Queensbridge is located right across the river from Manhattan.
Keep on rocking the bridge, we'll keep rocking.
It's the largest project in the world, with about 10,000 residents in total.
You know the block was ill as a youngster.
We grew up with bullets and, you know, crap, you know, just saw people shoot heroin in their arms.
This is crazy.
Queensbridge projects is so dangerous that you're definitely hearing gunshots every night.
While the shots going on, from you in your house, you're like, damn, somebody don't got killed.
It can be very bad for children.
Will it take me under?
But it can also be a wonderful place to grow up.
Imagine that.
Depending on how much of a family structure is there.
The Jones apartment was a really warm, comfortable, cozy type place to be in. It was just like a family atmosphere.
My family was always very tight-knit.
Nas and his mother were very close. I thought his personality was a lot like hers. They're both very quiet people, very giving people. I wouldn't say he was a mama's boy, but most people probably would.
Nasir's musical influences were coming directly from his father.
I was trying to make a living with music. I collected instruments from all over the world. I had trumpets, guitars, keyboards,
African instruments, xylophones, like all kinds of stuff.
Music playing. A lot of young musicians would be in my house constantly. People come out off the road, stop by to see me, play instruments, talk music.
Jazz, bebop to rapping.
We used to pick all the instruments up and play with them, blow it, you know, break them and get in trouble over it, you know.
Nas was very adept to playing musical instruments. Anything he touched, he could play. He started playing trumpet around 2. At the age of 3 or 4, he played outside on the stoops and drew crowds every day in the afternoon. It was unusual thing to happen to me, the father, you know, just listening to your son play horn like that with no lessons, and he's only 3 or 4 years old. But I stopped him from playing because his lip was getting very relaxed and droopy. And he was very upset, and he never wanted to play an instrument again. But he's always looking to do something creative. That was his whole thing. So he started writing and illustrating short stories like comic books, making up his own comic books.
He'll draw a comic book, like just like a DC comic book or a Marvel comic book, with his own characters, own storyline, all kinds of people in it, all kinds of villains and everything.
The Incredible Hulk was a favorite of his. And Spider-Man. He would always write stories about them, but he would always change the attitude and the persona of the character, I guess, to reflect what he saw outside.
The next thing you know, he would start writing lyrics, playing around with hip-hop lyrics. He must have been about 7 or 8 years old.
Nas always had pencil and paper. I just remember always finding rhymes laying around somewhere.
Nas and some of the guys in the neighborhood were just beginning to rap, and they were rapping over my tapes of ancient African music. And Nas was flooring like he had been doing it since birth. It was a beautiful thing to hear.
Back in 83, I was an MC sparking, but I was too scared to grab the mics in the park.
But he didn't want to rhyme in front of crowds of people in the projects.
He was always more comfortable in his, you know, familiar surroundings.
His mother was very much in love with Olu, and I think he was in love with her, but, you know, musicians are never good husbands.
She needed a man around to help raise those kids at all times. I couldn't do it because I had to travel around the world and make money as a musician.
There were times when Ann had to deal with, you know, Olu having other women in his life.
Papa was a player. Player was a papa. Papa loved a lady.
My father was cheating too much. He cheated and he got caught.
Running around town. Don't tell your mother what's going on.
It's hard to balance personal life with a life as a musician.
If they stay together, then someone will get killed.
They used to argue all the time, and one day my mother couldn't take it. It was just over.
When I left, things got very, very hard. Nas was 13 years old.
It crushed him a whole lot when, you know, Olu left.
It made Nas serious. Like, you know, from laughing all the time and running around, we got a little serious after that. Once my father left the crib, it was just me and Nas and my mother.
He was working hard, working these long hours, trying to provide a way for them so that they could stay off of the streets.
She dedicated her whole life for the kids. Like, she didn't go to the movies, she didn't go out to eat. She just went to work, came home, and dealt with the kids.
If she didn't breathe, it didn't matter, as long as her children were breathing. Her focus was to always instill in them self-confidence. You know, she never let Nasir ever think that he was going to do anything.
His mom had high expectations for Nasir, and she understood that in order for him to be successful, he would need an education.
I just remember there being one philosophy in the household. That was the Ann Jones philosophy. You went to school.
That, to her, was the ultimate achievement, something that focused her upbringing for Nasir, especially because he was so intelligent.
My mother just wanted him to be somebody in life.
But Nasir was a person who never really liked school, and he never wanted to do it.
He was the type that could pick up on anything. He didn't have to study, but he just turned off from it.
Him and some of his other friends, they hooked school, and the more they did it, the more they wanted to do it.
He might miss a day, and then it turned into 3 days. And it's a week, a month. Cut out of classes to smoke,
boost to drink. One day, him and his mother was having a discussion about him going to school. And he was going back, no, I don't want to go to school. I don't want to go to school. I mean, it was nose to nose. He was really in his mother's face. And she was really back at him.
And after that, he just didn't go to school anymore.
Nas was 14, dropped out of the ninth grade.
I knew that his mom was devastated.
Anne was very concerned about Nas not slipping into street life.
Most kids, when they stop going to school, they start selling drugs.
When he dropped out, it was like kind of critical, you know what I'm saying? Because you had to know what you was going to do after that.
He was in the project slipping, you know, like just hanging out in the hood. My mother, she worried that one day he could get shot or killed.
She didn't want him to go to jail, you know, she didn't want him to die. And he was just surrounded by all of that.
Nas dropped out of high school and, you know, was just chilling on the block.
My mother was very disappointed when Nas dropped out of school.
It broke her heart.
She didn't want him to get caught up in the traps, the inner projects and stuff like that.
He was hanging a lot in the Bridge. That's where his family was, that's where his friends were, that's what he was connected to.
He was running with Willie Graham, a.k.a. Ill Will.
Ill Will, Willie Graham. He lived on a sixth floor, and we lived on 5D, you know, right underneath each other.
And Nas was very close to him. I don't remember seeing them apart at all. And almost anything they did, if my brother would go somewhere, Nas would be right with him.
Their common goal was, like, music, you know?
Nasir and Willie were going to be, you know, Run DMC, you know, the tag team. Willie was on the turntables, and Nasir was going to rhyme.
Nasir was talking to Will, yo, we're going to make it. We're going to get out the hood. You know what I'm saying? So that was their dream that they had.
He looked at me and just told me, I'm going to be a rapper, and everyone's going to love my music. I'm going to change the whole game. Take this whole over and be the man.
And then Nas just went to another level on the rhyme tip. You know what I mean? He just went to another level. He just started flowing. I mean, his flow was just so different from what everybody else was doing. Back then, people wasn't really putting big words in their raps yet. But Nas was all into the reading and all into, you know, changing the vocabulary of the hip hop.
The way he put his rhyme was like, you couldn't have guessed that he dropped out in the ninth grade. I'm taking rappers to a new plateau. Do rap slow.
My rhyming is a vitamin. Hell without a capsule. He did a lot of self-teaching. He read all day, all the time.
I mean, doctor books, language books, law books.
He used to read the dictionary. He used to read a full dictionary. Well, acapella rhymes that make me richer
than a slipper made Cinderella fella. You know, Nas is coming out with words like cranium and crazy stuff that nobody in the hood really, really never heard of them words. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He just was the smartest street rapper in the hood.
Yeah. One time for your mind, one time.
If he starts freestyling, we would just close our eyes, you know, and we could see the whole thing.
His mother's response to him saying he wanted to be a rapper was, oh, I can't believe this. You know, she threw her hands in the air because it was like, of all the things, why a rapper?
But she knew, you know, this is my son. This is what he wants to do. I know he's talented. I'm going to support him.
When she knew that he wanted to be in the music business, she just said, all right, I'm going to just help you then.
She was the one who gave him the money to put together his demos and that kind of thing.
I watched her give him $60. And I used to say, why did you give him? I thought you didn't have no money. And she used to be like, he's going to the studio.
Nas wanted to get into the studio and do a little demo or whatever. And his brain was like, yo, my man, Lars Professor, probably hooked you with a beat.
At the time, Lars Professor is one of the hottest producers around in the game.
He was working out of a studio called Power Play Studio. And Nas was just a kid from Queensbridge who would walk up the block to the studio trying to get put on. So Lars came in there and Nas is rapping, you know?
Yo, they call me Nas, I'm not your legal type of fella. Now I'm drinking and I'm where I ain't smoking street dweller.
And Lars was like, yo, ask this kid from Queensbridge, he's pretty dope.
Nas is a rebel of the street corner.
Nas was only 17 when he hooked up with Lars Professor. The timing was perfect for Nas because Lars Professor was about to record this album, Breaking Atoms, with his group Main Source that was going to feature a whole bunch of artists.
We're nobody just coming out of nowhere trying to make, you know, history. And we guest starred on Lars Professor's album on a song called Live at the Barbecue.
It gave Nas his shot, man, and it just was on from there.
I work fantastic, realistic, my raps are drastic, not simplistic.
Nas spit one verse on Live at the Barbecue. Sometimes that's all it takes is one verse.
Disciple, my raps are trifle. I shoot slugs from my brain just like a rifle.
Street disciple, my raps are trifle.
I shoot slugs from my brain just like a rifle. Stampede the stage, I leave the microphone split.
Play Mr. Tuffy while I'm on some pretty tones.
When I was 12, I went to Help Us Nothing Jesus. I'm sorry, that's just genius.
That one verse did it, you know what I mean?
That was the knockout punch, the like blow to the gut right there, where the people just fell on the floor, you know? And they were like, wow.
Everything was just completely disgustingly ill on the lyrical side.
Yeah,
I was just like, this dude is gonna be the next dangerous thing to happen to hip hop.
After Live at the Barbecue, everybody was just like, yo, who's that? Who's that?
Nas was the biggest talk of New York City.
He was the guy that everybody wanted on their record. Like, the second you heard him, but you couldn't find him. He wasn't out. Like, he wasn't networking. He wasn't politicking.
Live at the Barbecue creates this buzz for Nas, but it's not like you get paid mad paper. You know what I mean?
After Barbecue, yeah, you know, he had a lot of props with empty pockets. So, you know, we the cool, we want to look good. So, you know, everybody, we petty hustling out there.
We had to eat, so, you know, doing a little drug peddling here, there.
In any ghetto in America, there's usually two things that most young black men aspire to be. It's to be a rapper or to be a hustler of some form.
If you sell crack, you get girls, you're going to have a bunch of money in your pocket, you get respect.
You almost could not run from it. It was like, oh, I could make $500 in 20 minutes.
You know, we're in the projects, everybody needs fast money, so, you know, now I sold some crack.
Selling crack on 40th Avenue and Vernon Boulevard. That was the hardest job I ever had.
You know the choices, the chances that you got knocked up, got killed, got shot, that was part of the game.
It was a summer night, May. It was kind of hot.
Jungle Nas's brother, he was hanging with my brother, and they were hanging on the benches. And my brother was on his bike.
Ill Will was collecting money for a cookout we was going to have the next day.
But he got into altercation with somebody.
And now, you know, we thinking nothing's going to happen or whatever. But the guy got a gun. He got a gun on him, man. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, Ill Will, what's up, man? What you going to do? So Will was like, what? I ain't running from nobody. That was his last words. I'm not running from nobody.
Then one of the dudes pulled out a gun and shot him 3 times in the back.
Then Will looked at me with the wide eyes and just fell. I was like shocked. I just stood still. And the dude that did the shooting turned to me and started squeezing too.
My son John was with him.
So Jungle was shot in the leg.
Nas was upstairs in the building, and he, as soon as he heard the shots, he knew that was right where we hung out at.
My brother came home and said, you know, Jabari's been shot. They got Willie.
May 23rd, 1992, Will got killed, yeah.
The neighborhood was shocked.
When they said Will got shot, I was like, nah, not him.
He was like one of our best friends since the beginning of time.
It took a lot out of a lot of people, and I think it took more so a lot out of Nasir because they were black brothers.
When Willie passed, I was afraid of Nasir straying from his path.
In his home, here is his close friend and his brother, you know, being shot.
I really expected him to just go straight downhill from there.
Yeah, Will, rest in peace, yo, I'm out.
Nasir's best friend, Willie Grant, wound up getting shot, you know, a best friend of his.
His loss had a profound impact on Nas.
Willie's death easily could have been an excuse for Nasir to just go up the deep end, but I think his death more or less inspired him.
Will was just like the top for Nas.
He decided to distance himself away from anything and everything that was going to keep him from his ultimate goal.
It was either music or I'm going down. It's like after the music, there's no other exit out.
That's when Nas got, you know, real serious with the music.
He was trying to get his record deal, and I know he was trying to make a name for himself.
Every day, we would take the train into Manhattan. We would shop his tapes at Def Jam everywhere. But no one was really gravitating to the Nas stuff. They were like, get out of here. And, you know, as little kids, we were crushed, devastated, you know? But then MC Search came through.
MC Search was a part of a group called Third Base.
Nas was like, yo, can you help me get my thing, you know, together? And I asked him, well, what do you want? He said, you know, I want it all.
Search saw Nas. Search was like, hey, let's give it a shot.
You could tell Nas had that thing. That's when I went to Faith Newman.
MC Search called me and he said, I have this demo tape.
For you, I got a lot to shoot over here. My robs are hotter than a prostitute.
And he brought it over to my office and I just flipped.
Showed up.
And Faith would not let me leave unless we made a deal.
At the time I signed him, he was 17, just going on 18.
Oh boy.
When he got his first record deal, his advance was $17,000. We thought he just hit the lotto. We thought he was rich.
The first song that he put out commercially was the song called Halftime from a soundtrack to a movie called Zebrahead.
I'm an intellectual rap. I'm a professional. That's no question, yo.
We thought that it would be a good launch to put a Nas track on there.
Nas had the whole package, the way he looked, the way his vocal tone was. His rhyme style was unique.
It's just Nas in his rawest form. That record had a huge buzz on the streets.
Just off of the strength of the song Halftime, every major producer at that time in the hip-hop world came to him and wanted to work with him.
Nas was working on Illmatic at the same time that, you know, Zebrahead was out.
They had Premier, they had Q-Tip, they had Pete Rock, they had Lars Professor. I mean, they had the top-of-the-line producers on the album.
To get all of us on one project for one MC, he had to really be special.
Now, I spent about a year and a half, 2 years working on the album.
He took so long because he really was trying to put the perfect album together.
There were weeks that would go by when nothing would happen.
He wanted to find the right music, and he wanted to find it at his pace.
He's always afraid that the fans might not like it or he's going to fail.
There was a tremendous amount of pressure. It was like, speed it up, get it out, quick, you know.
You got this one shot. You're talking from everything you've seen from the beginning to the end, from the womb to the tomb. So he's trying to grab everything he knows and put it in this one album. This is like your last, this is it.
The Mac was released April in 1994.
New York was frozen, just like, I mean, cars stopped, just everything. it was just like, Nas.
The city never sleeps, full of villains and creeps. That's where I learned to do my hustle, had to suffer with free.
He made 10 songs. He hit 10 home runs.
I never sleep, cause sleep is the cousin of death.
He sounded more like a prophet. He was speaking on terms of reality and what he lived in day after day that all of us in the inner city and the ghetto all across the country can relate to.
The East Coast and all of the other rappers and all the other musicians just stormed to it. And the critical response was incredible.
The buzz is phenomenal. He gets 5 mics in the source. Now, at this time, no one got 5 mics in the source.
It meant everything in terms of credibility. They were the single most important magazine on the street at the time.
The world is yours.
The way people talked about him, other rappers, producers, you know, people was like he was this kind of messiah almost. I mean, he kind of attained like this mythological status.
I mean, yo, he was king of New York. King of New York.
There was mad pressure on Nas. You're the next great rapper. You're it. You know, and people respecting, like, these phenomenal record sales.
But the sales wasn't there, you know.
It was slow going.
93, 94, those were the years of Snoop and Dre. They were selling 3, 4, 5 million records. And Nas was only selling 500,000.
The sales didn't match the hysteria around him and around that album.
To go gold for Illmatic, that was horrible. You know, Illmatic was supposed to go platinum the day it was released.
I mean, if you're a hip-hop purist and you appreciate the lyrics, you couldn't ask for a better album. If you want big pop single, we didn't have that.
Nas always wanted to make sure that he keep his street credibility, but I think the machine was not looking upon the street credibility. They was looking upon the next level and higher.
Nas met Carmen right around the time Illmatic dropped.
They just became an item, and they were just a really cute couple.
Carmen was cool. She always used to hang around. She was the girl who was like the guy in the crew, hanging out with her.
They was in love. Everything looked good back then.
I remember hearing Carmen was pregnant and Nas was going to have a baby.
Nas was 21 years old when he had a first child. Her name is Destiny. Destiny was adorable as a baby.
He knew it was a responsibility, and he was excited about being a dad.
For him, Destiny was like his next step as being a man.
He wanted to provide for Destiny a life and a lifestyle that his family was unable to provide him.
Destiny was everything to him, but he got to get back to business, you know what I'm saying?
He really had to come back with more of a power now. He's watching other rappers like Biggie Smalls, and they're blowing up to the moon.
Here's Nas seeing all this commercial success, Snoop and Dre on the West Coast, Puffy and Biggie on the East Coast. People saying I'm a great MC, but I'm not selling any records, which means I'm not really making the kind of money I should be making.
There was like this kind of pressure on him because he had the talent, he should have the riches like they do.
The label is like, you know what, Nas, we gotta do something to get some sales out here.
Album number 2, they said, okay, now we gotta, you know, get into the mainstream aspect, which is when, you know, Lauryn Hill stepped in.
She was just coming off, you know, a huge buzz with the Fugees, and he was coming off a huge buzz, and they both respected each other musically.
In 1996, Nas made a conscious decision that I'm gonna link up with Lauryn, and I'll get on MTV.
The world is mine.
The song that he did with Lauryn Hill was a song called If I Rule the World.
It was all over the place, MTV, all video outlets, all radio, pop radio. Just a huge record for Nas.
The second album it was written went double platinum off of the strength of the first single, If I Rule the World.
So many years of depression make me vision for better living, type of place to raise kids in.
Sales was incredible. Everybody's seen a bigger meal ticket from it.
Imagine everybody flashing, fashion, designer clothes, lacing your click up with diamond rolls.
And that's when it happened for him and took off.
That took Nas to a whole nother level. After that, I mean, it was ball game. It was fun time now, you know? My mother was, she was so happy.
She was proud like a mother, like your son made it.
He finally proved himself to my mother, like he can make it without school.
He was very close with his mother, very, very close, you know? And Nas did a lot of things that I don't even think a lot of rappers did. He moved his moms out to projects before he even bought himself anything.
We used to talk about moving since we was little kids, and she finally got a chance. They was living in the same house. They had a mansion. He had her with him, living with him. Thanksgiving dinners was from projects to mansions, you know.
He turned a very sad situation for her with him not going to school into something that he was able to say, look, maybe I didn't go to school, but I was able to provide for you like I said I was going to do. And he's proud of that.
To my mom, look at me, baby. I love you, girl.
When It Was Written came out, Nas was definitely at the top of his game.
It Was Written was like his biggest commercial record to date.
He was like, we're making money now, we're finally out together.
It Was Written came out in July of 1996, and like 2 months later, it was probably the darkest period in hip-hop history.
Around 11:15 in the evening, some 12 shots were fired, four of them striking Tupac Shakur. At 1:15 a.m., Christopher Wallace, also known as Notorious B.I.G., was pronounced dead of gunshot wounds.
By the time Biggie and Pac got killed, Nas was still only in his mid-20s. You're still trying to figure your stuff out, man. You know, and you see your colleagues blown away.
It makes you think. You know, like, damn, I could be next.
What up, Big? You know, this is rough after you slid. You in God's hands now. Keep a place on me, kid.
When Big and Pac left, it was like a big void.
The logical successor was Nas, but he felt like he had to take a step back.
Nas was able to see that nothing could be as important as staying alive and extracting yourself from the madness.
For a couple of years there, it just seemed like he was just kind of floating creatively, artistically, trying to find his voice again.
I'm wondering why it's a dirty game. Is any man worthy of fame?
But hip-hop is competitive, and you got to go with the times.
Every year, new artists is coming out.
You know, Puffy was coming out and really dominating the game at that time.
It was all about, you know, the bling-bling phase.
And a lot of artists started to really want to do what Puff was doing, commercialize the music. And I think Nas wanted to take a stab at it, too. Come on.
In 1999, Nas put out I Am and Nostradamus, which weren't two of his best CDs.
I remember seeing the Hate Me Now video, and Nas has got on... He's just like Puffy, basically.
Don't hate me, hate the money I see, clothes that I buy, ice that I wear, clothes that I try.
I remember thinking to myself, that's not the Nas that I know. I mean, what is going on here? He's just blinging all over the place.
Gucci this, Fendi that, what you expect, yo?
Nas definitely viewed as like a hip-hop artist that spoke about the ills of the street.
And so the streets is like, oh, you know, he sold out, basically, because it's like, you just made a pop record.
A lot of people were just like, well, that era of him being the greatest MC might be over.
Nostradamus was kind of panned by critics. So Jay-Z came along and just went right by him.
So I stretched the game out, asked your name out, put Jigger on top.
He comes stepping right in place, and people start looking more at Jay-Z.
Uh-huh.
There was a point in the late 90s when every other song was Jay-Z. It was crazy.
H to the S-O, B to the S-A.
Jay, for the longest time, was under Nas' shadow. And I think it got to him.
And so what better way to try to raise your own street credibility than to you got this battle going?
It really started from that point that they were just throwing little jabs at each other.
And then before you know it, Jay-Z just keeps punching.
Brooklyn's favorite son, Jay-Z, took a swipe at the Pride of Queens, Nas, with the performance of a song called The Takeover during a New York Summer Jam concert.
I remember Jay's lyrics. It kind of went like, Nizzle, I can decide. That's one hot album every 10-year average, and that's so lame.
And the Jay-Z diss came from left field, you know?
Jay had that much power at that time to put Nas into a crunch. I was like, damn, Nas is like damn near over.
He wasn't even going to diss Jay-Z back. He was like, I'm bigger than that. Like, I got other real stuff to think about than have a petty battle with you.
Nas and Carmen's relationship was not doing well, as a lot of relationships that start when you're very young.
As Nas' career got bigger, of course, you know, a lot of girls like Nas out of nowhere. There was a lot of cheating and getting caught at hotels. She couldn't handle it, he couldn't handle it.
on top of all of that, there was some rumors about Jay-Z that definitely affected Nas' real personal relationship stuff.
Harmon started dating Jay-Z, and I think that was probably a rough period for him.
Nas' relationship was over.
Then right after that, things really took the turn for the worse. I remember his mother telling Nas and Jabari that she had breast cancer.
He knew she was sick, but he did not know the extent of her sickness.
And hid her diagnosis from a lot of people.
She's not the kind of person who won't drop that on anybody.
I just remembered her during that whole period of time constantly encouraging him to work hard and, you know, not to worry about her.
You know, you're in a career and you're in a business where you got to just stay focused.
He was really focusing on the music real hard, like on coming back real strong.
He knew that he had to do that for her.
Nas was at a turning point in his career. You know, he was on the ropes thinking about, I'm about to lose a mother, while Jay-Z is attacking him, potentially could end his whole career.
I saw Nas, and he said, yo, I'm going to get him. And I was like, I don't know if you're going to pull this one off, G. You really need to get back on point with the way you was back in the early days.
He voiced through the pen, you know? He just went back and voiced through the pen.
Jay put a fire under Nas. It made him wake up and realize that his audience needs him to be the MC they always knew he was.
Brace yourself for the main event, y'all impatiently waiting.
In December of 2001, Stillmatic was released.
The track Ether put to rest all of that beef between him and Jay and basically set the story straight.
Nas came back at him and he spoke his mind.
Heard it when I was asleep, that this Jay-Z and Rockefeller Records wanna be.
Nas was never tested on a battle before, so no one knew how ferocious the bite or the growl could get.
You a fan, a phony, a fake, a look, you're saying, I'm still with you.
I knew that eventually people wanna hear what I gotta say. There is no takeover.
Check it out, your soul like ether. Get you the king, you know you. Stars on across the belly. No, I prove you lost the red.
On the streets, phones was ringing. There's people that didn't even have cell phones that was on the phone just to say, did you hear this record?
Were you abused as a child, scared to smile, they called you ugly?
That Ether was a brutal knockout punch. That was that.
Ugh. He's down!
Nas won, and that was what brought him back to the game. He won. He beat Jay-Z. That's the truth.
I think Nas probably silenced every critic he ever had.
It resurrected Nas' career in a major way.
Stillmatic put him back in his proper perspective to get the street credibility back.
You could see that he had changed. He had gone through a transformation.
It wasn't about getting airplay. It was about, yo, I'm Nas, dog. Like, for real. Like, I'm Nas. Like, don't forget who I am.
With all the success of Stillmatic, people say Nas is back. You know, he's regained his crown, all of that. It couldn't hide the problems at home, you know, specifically his mom's being sick.
We was on a road, then somebody called us and told us my mother, an ambulance had to get her, and she was real sick.
Nas had to leave the tour to come home because his mom was in the hospital.
We went straight to New York Hospital, and the doctor was like, yo, she don't got but a week or 2 weeks. That was like, you know, a cannon to the head, you know what I'm saying? That was, like, unbelievable.
I think the biggest thing was he had to sit back and just wait for nature to take its course with his mother.
Nas was at his mother's bedside that whole last week, probably almost every night. He had just packed a bag and camped out. He would spend the night and just sit there and, you know, read or do whatever he had to do. It's hard because it's hard to...
The pain, watching my mother in that much pain was, that was the craziest that I've ever been through in my whole entire life. Like, you know.
Nas' mother Ann passed April
7, 2002. Nas was there when she passed away. He had called out to her, and she opened her eyes again, and then she took her last breath. She died in his arms.
Pain he felt is unexplainable. See, Dad passed away believing in him and his brother. So now it's like, I want to make everything that she ever dreamed of in me all come through. Come through.
Nas was very much, you know, devastated when his mom's passed.
He kind of lost himself in his work after that, after the funeral and everything. Then he went out on tour. He was still kind of riding on the success of Stillmatic during that time.
He had no choice but to go on because she invested way too much for him to allow that thing to stop him.
He went on the road, try to keep her busy. He was hurting. He was hurting through it every day, you know. He was definitely in that zone of what he wanted to speak about and tell the world about, you know, his moms and how he felt.
Godson was released in December of 2002.
Nas dedicated Godson to his mother.
I had to finish up another album because if I wouldn't have, she'd be mad at me. She was saying, you know, that's not how I raised you.
Everything in that album was almost like, Mom, I did it, you know?
I could just tell he was pouring all of his feelings into that CD. Everything that he was going through as far as his mother's death was in that CD.
I dreamed the day I could go back to when I was born, laying in your arms, wishing you was here today, Mom.
It was a song on that album, Dance, and it was dedicated to his mom.
April 7, 42, that's when the gates of heaven opened up for you to stroll through beautiful Ann Jones.
It just reminds me of their relationship and how close they were and, you know, how much he really, really, truly loved her and how much he misses her.
I can't even hear that. I'll never listen to that. Every time I come on, I feel like I feel now. I gotta leave. I can't even hear it. It's too deep. You know what I'm saying?
I knew that he missed his mother. I knew there was a void in his life, you know?
Nas never really had a strong relationship with his dad.
When my father left the house, Nas was mad. You know, we was both little kids.
Nas's mother would always tell him, you know, this is your father. He's all you have.
She always wanted us to love him and respect him, no matter what he did. She didn't want us to turn our backs on him.
See, I come from Mississippi.
He told me he was going to do a record with his father.
Nas's father, great blues musician Oludar, represent Mississippi and Harlem. You know what I'm saying?
He had a desire to build a relationship with his father that he lost for many years.
I named the boy Nasir. All the boys call him Nasir.
I think with the song Bridging the Gap, Nas and his dad are able to mend a lot of old wounds and connect in a lot of ways.
Let's go.
He collaborating with his pops. That was excellent.
To do it with your pops, that's a ill thing.
Told him as a youngster, he'll be the greatest man alive. You're the greatest pop.
That song specifically connects to a bond between musical legacies.
One of the great hip-hop moments of the last year or so, October 1st, 2004, VH1 Hip Hop Honors Award.
I'm going to bring my man out, and he's rocking with his pops. Give it up and make some noise for my brother from another mother. No! Let's go! What's up, New York?
When I saw him and Olu, I was amazed. Like, my mouth dropped open.
Bridging the gap, blues, jazz, rap. The history of music on this track. Born in the game, discovered that my father's music like Prince, searching through boxes of purple rain.
The way they was looking at each other was like, you know, it was special, you know, it was like, you can't get that, you ain't gonna get that nowhere, because it's like, father and son, they just was, you know, look, go ahead, son, yeah, you do your thing.
What you tell me, Dad?
Greatest man alive.
He said it, y'all.
You definitely see the ease in Nasir's face.
You can see that he was happy to be with his father like that.
Peace, I love y'all.
Nas's mother, if she was alive now, she would be very proud.
Just to see Nas get closer to his father, something that she knew that Nas didn't have as a child.
She's not here, God bless her, but I know she was upstairs watching.
Nothing gonna stop me now.
When you look at where Nas started 10 years ago with Illmatic, you realize, man, this dude's been through a lot. You know, he's lost a lot of people in his life, Will, his homeboy, his mom.
He's been able to overcome all of that and put a lot of that in his music.
He's a listener. He's an observer, so these things, he knows how to piece his life together.
Exactly. He was destined to be who he is, man, because his soul was strong. This is my hood. I'm a
rap to the death of it. Being kind of in the situation you are in the Queensbridge Projects and Queens, to being one of the most respected artists in the world, Nas ranks in the most esteemed echelon, the icon class. If you really think you're ready to fly with my power, this is for
now. Nas has been doing this strictly as an MC. That's rare. He ain't acting. He's not a radio personality. He's not. He doesn't have a clothing line. You know, he's got one mic. That's his legacy. He's got one mic and he's been using it.
Check it out. I call it. Yeah. Yeah. I call it shit for niggas with daughters. 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 I saw my daughter send a letter to some boy her age who locked up. First I regretted it, then caught my rage. Like, how could I not protect her from this awful fate? Never tried to hide who I was. She was taught and raised like a princess. But while I'm on stage, I can't leave her defenseless. Plus she see me switching women, poppers on some pimp shit. She heard stories of her daddy thugging. So if her husband is a gangster, can't be mad. I love her. Never for her, I want better. Homie in jail, dead dad. Wait till he come home. You can see where it's heads at. Niggas got game, they be trying to live. He seen your mama crib, plus I'm sure he know who your father is. Although you real, plus an honest kid. Don't think I'm slow, I know you probably had that chronic lid. You 17, I got a problem with it. She look at me like I'm not the cleanest father figure, but she rockin' with it. This for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, yo. Not saying that our sons are less important. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. This morning I got a call, nearly split my wig. The social network said, Nas, go and get your kid. She's on Twitter, I know she ain't gon' post no pic of herself underdressed. No inappropriate shit, right? Her mother cried when she asked. Said she don't know what got inside this child's mind she planted. I blocked the condoms on her dresser, then she Instagrammed it. At this point I realize I ain't the strictest parent. I'm too loose, I'm too cool with her. Should've drove more time to school with her. I thought I dropped enough jewels on her. Took her from private school so she can get a balance to public school. They too nurture teen talent. They grow fast. One day she's your little princess. Next day she's talking boy business. What is this? They say the coolest players is balance. Heartbreakers in the world. God gets us back. He makes us have precious little girls. This for niggas with daughters. I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters. Yo, not saying that our sons are less important. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Shit for niggas with daughters, I call it. Not saying that our sons are less important. And I ain't trying to mess your thing up, but I just want to see you dream up. I finally understand, it ain't easy to raise a girl as a single man. Nah, the way mothers feel for their sons, how fathers feel for their daughters. When he date, he straight, chip off his own papa. When she date, we wait behind his door with a sword off, cause we think no one is good enough for our daughters. Love.
I'm Strickland? Why you say that? What? Yeah. What a coincidence. Are you clear warrants and stuff?
No, they edit the name out. What we're listening to, everybody. George Zimmerman is being pulled over. You have a live telecast of it. He's in Texas. If you're looking for George Zimmerman, he just got pulled over by the police department. Y'all are wondering what's all this little hubbub. Someone sent me a news clipping over the internet showing George Zimmerman being pulled over for speeding. This just had happened. And he's in Texas now. And when he was asked where he was going, he said nowhere in particular. So they asked him, where are you going? He said nowhere in particular. Why he said nowhere in particular? He said, do you see my name? I'm George Zimmerman. And that's and they let him go with a break. I thought, you know, they was going to harass the guy. I don't know why they sent me this little, hey, Jimmy Lee, check this scene out of George Zimmerman getting pulled over in Texas. So what he's doing, he's relocating. I guess the person sent me this to let everybody know. I hope I'm not doing nothing wrong by saying George Zimmerman is in Texas now. And that's where he's at. If you want to know where George Zimmerman at, he is in Texas. So y'all can stop blowing up places in Florida. The propane spot that got blew up. Y'all can stop going down there and harassing those Florida people. Those propane tanks and stuff like that. I'm gonna play one more nice song. I'm gonna take a break. My bad for a little quick little delay. I thought I had something good, everybody, but he's not in Florida, everybody. He's in Texas, so.
Woke up this morning.
Yeah.
You got yourself a gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Got yourself a gun.
Yo, I'm living in this time behind enemy lines. So I got mine, I hope y'all.
Got yourself a gun.
You from the hood, I hope y'all.
Got yourself a gun.
You want beef, hope y'all.
Got yourself a gun.
And when I see you, I'ma take what I want. So you try to front, hope y'all.
Got yourself a gun.
You ain't real, hope y'all.
Got yourself a gun.
My first album had no famous guest appearances. The outcome
I'm crowned the best ever since many years on this professional level. What would you question is better? The world is still mine. Tattoos rail with Godson across the belly. The balls are rap. You saw me in belly with thoughts like that. To take it back to Africa, I did it with Biggie. Me and Tupac were soldiers of the same struggle. You lame to huddle, your team shook. Y'all feel the wrath of a killer. Cause this is my football field. Throwing passes from a barrel, shoulder pads of power. But the QB don't stand for no quarterback. Every word is like a sawed-off blast. Cause y'all lost off and I'm the black hearse that came to haul y'all last in. It's for the hood by the corner store. Many try, many die. Come at nines if you want a war. Get it bloody. I got mine, I hope ya. You from the hood, I hope ya. You want beef, hope ya. And when I see you, I'ma take what I want, so you try to front, hope ya. You ain't real, hope ya. Yo, I'm the N, the A to the S-I-R. And if I wasn't, I must have been Escobar. You know the kid got his chip too fixed. Tear-hearted with a barber's preciseness. Brave-hearted for life is return of the golden child. Son of a blues player. So who are you, player? Y'all waited the true saviors. Puffing that tropical. Cups of that vodka too. Poppy juice, throw up. Wake up in a hospital, throw up. Never. Remember, I do this through righteous steps. You Judas thought I was gone. So in light of my death, y'all been all happy-go-lucky. Bunch of shambles, call me Godson. With my pants low, I don't die slow. Put them rags up like Petey Pablo. This is NASDAQ dough in my NASCAR with this non-slow. Look to beat that, not a soul reppin'. Hit the record store, never let me go. Get my whole collection, yeah. I got mine, I hope ya. You from the hood, I hope ya. You want beef, hope ya. And when I see you, I'ma take what I want, so you try to front, hope ya. You ain't real, hope ya. It's the return of the Prince the Boss. This is real hardcore. Kid rockin' Limp Bizkit soft. Sip crisp, get chips, wrist bliss, I floor. Sick shit, look sick up in that box of Porsche with the top cut off. Rich kids go and cop the sauce. They don't know about the block them on. And everybody wanna know where the kid go, where he rest at, where he shop at and dress at. Know he got dough, where does he live? Is he still in the bridge? Does he really know how ill he is? Got all of y'all watching my moves, my watching my jewels. Hopping my coupe, dodge interviews like that. It's not only my jewels, ice anything, plenty chains. Look at my tennis shoes, I ice that. Who am I? The back twister, lingerie ripper, automatic leg spreader. Quit the brain getter, keep it. Gangsta with ya. I got mine, I hope ya. You from the hood, I hope ya. You want beef, hope ya. And when I see you, I'ma take what I want, so you try to front, hope ya. You ain't real, hope ya. I got mine, I hope ya. You from the hood, I hope ya.
Partners in Community Building focuses on credit building, financial literacy, and home ownership for residents throughout Chicago and Illinois. All of our services are free. Call 312-328-0873 to get additional information on our homeownership counseling, rental assistance, Cook County foreclosure mediation, and small accessible repairs for seniors programs. PCIB is a HUD-certified nonprofit counseling agency committed to addressing the housing needs of all people. Call 312-328-0873 to schedule an appointment or visit us at www.pcibchicago.org.
For true inspiration, check out singer, songwriter, and radio personality Sylvia Fedrick. Sylvia, your sister under God's construction, brings to you her best in Christian contemporary gospel tunes, and they are available for download at www.sangsylvia.com. That's SANGSYL.com. Or you can visit her profile at Chicago Black Business Network. For bookings, call Sassy Michelle at 512-914-4221.
Want to learn the secrets of the wealthy? Do you think that the wealthy sell their gold and silver, or do they buy gold and silver? Learn to create wealth, collect wealth, and preserve wealth for you and future generations. Find out how you can acquire free silver every month. Visit goldandsilverplan.com. That's goldandsilverplan.com. What you don't know can keep you struggling financially. What you know can change your life. Be in the know. Visit goldandsilverplan.com today.
Hey, you want more money in your pocket, right? Savers are losers, unless you save like the rich and beat inflation. The secret? Save the right kind of money. Pure, solid, 24-karat gold or silver for as little as 20 bucks a week, direct from the mint. Don't spend money. Exchange bad money for good money. Start today at SaveMetalMoney.com. That's SaveMetalMoney.com. The chains of slavery in the modern world are not forged with links of iron, but with the bonds of limiting ideas and debt.
Be in business for yourself, but not by yourself. Team up with a company voted the 57th most promising by Forbes. With no money to collect from your customers, no credit checks, and no cost for you to join. Visit electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288. That's electricmoneyteam.com, 773-980-9288.
Hi there, I'm the X-Man, Xavier Paul. I'm a national network voiceover talent. You've heard my voice represent hundreds of brands and businesses for the past 15 years. Well, now it's your turn. I understand how important it is to promote your business or event in the right way. That starts with quality radio spot production and the nation's top voiceover talent. You might wonder, how do I get started? What's the best approach? What voice talent do I use? And most importantly, can I do it affordably? That's why I created CoolVoiceRadio.com. I take you to the finish line, giving you everything you need to advertise effectively on the radio. I'll help you create your concept, write your spot, even choose your music and cast your voice talent and get it aired on the radio. Now that's cool. Email me today at info@coolvoiceradio.com or call 646-326-7800 because nothing beats the right sound.
You have my man Mike Flo. Hopefully he might come in the studio tomorrow, but we definitely going to have it here at Washington Cultural Center, maybe talking to some of our little youthful kids. That's what we get him in. Matter of fact, hey, Ebony, why don't you go and load that Mike Flo interview we tried it. We had queued up for a second. Why don't you go and play that? No, we want Dead Prayers. Not Mike Flo, Dead Prayers. But not, yeah.
Blues. I guess you could say... pseudo leaders, quasi leaders. I don't know if you want to call them leaders per se, but we have Reverend Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson. They refuse to lose. I think pseudo. Not that they don't have anything going on.
You
don't
have time to me. Pseudo.
Well, I don't want to call it crazy, but the whole thing is partly because, I mean, necessarily, I don't know if the people elected them or they just decided to stand in those positions. I mean, I don't know if you agree with me on that, but in any case, do you feel like they should be a representation, or are they a representation of how we want our communities reflected? Are they good leaders? I mean, they were there for Sean Bell, sort of, you know?
I mean, you know, leadership is action. You know, leadership is initiative, you know. All leadership ain't good, you know. It's just leadership. You're the first nigga, you know. You're the first one, you know.
But they've been around for a minute.
No, I'm not taking nothing from them. I don't even want to disrespect, but it's also real shit. My elders,
right,
who definitely have lived a real life and have contributed their time and energy and ideas to things that our community has supported. You know what I mean? I don't want to second guess Al Sharpton or even Jesse Jackson to the point where I feel like ain't nothing they ever did was sincere or whatever. Who am I, a young nigga, sitting here to say that about them, which is who we've been contributing. I really mean that. But what I do want to say is it's not a personal thing, man. It's about, do we believe in the direction, let's say, Al Sharpton wants to go in? You know, do I think he represents where I want to go?
But does he?
You know, no. Yeah, you know, and do it, you know, and definitely not Jesse either. I appreciate Al Sharpton's presence and the platform he creates by going on the scene and opening up a conversation, et cetera, et cetera, and bringing attention to certain things. But I don't the choice of, okay, now what are we going to do about it? You know, I'm always, you know, I think we need to be about empowerment and power, you know what I mean, as opposed to making this system a apologize to us, or, you know, the demand ain't never strong enough. You know, we never really demanded justice. It's almost like he's there like his resistance, but he's really saying we're not going to go as far as we need to go to get justice, you know. And so he kind of contains the NGA people in a non-revolutionary kind of way. And so with all due respect to him and all the work that he does and anybody who appreciates that, you know, it's just about, you know, but where do we want to go ultimately? You know, Al Sharpton will represent the future. They represent power for black people. They're scared of that. They try to be Mr. Universal and, you know, all that. They're scared to represent, you know, the people and our power and what's real justice.
Okay.
I'm going to add on by saying, again, unite with what Stick said, just for the record. You know what I'm saying? So it can be said, and I know it's probably been said a couple of times before now. And so it always gets updated so people don't get misconstrued. But definitely, you know, Al Sharpton or Jesse Jackson couldn't leave me to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? Literally. You know what I'm saying? And the reason why is because they, you know, there's a break there. And exactly, just like Stick said, it's a break. Exactly what we want. Just like with Obama, it's not a criticism of a man, because he's a man, and I have respect for that human being. I sat in the room with him, and philosophically, you know what I'm saying, what he represents is the exact opposite of what I want to be doing in life, especially with
Obama or.
Well, we're talking about Jesse Jackson and Reverend Al Sharpton, who work together. I want people to know that that what they represent in the world, you know, is a whole middle class stance that gives the idea that you can chase ambulances down, which we call it ambulance chasing, because it's always at the scene of the tragedy where you find these people and then try to placate the people. You know what I'm saying? Sit here and see, which is the total opposite of what we want to be. We want to be proactive. You know, we want to be. We already know this is going to happen. We know this is going to happen. We're not going to wait for it to happen in order to collect on people's sorrows again, or even create careers around this. Because we don't want to see another Sean Bell. We're not. Our interest is not to wait for it to happen so we can be there and have another total opportunity. You know what I'm saying? This is not total our time. So you know, the movement that we represent is a work class struggle, a revolutionary movement. The thing that we're talking about is devoid of revolutionary politics. As a matter of fact, it would compromise with the system at any given turn just so it can get some sort of fake power. You know, Jesse Jackson, has been, you know, implicated in federal government files for wearing a wire during the 1960s. Not Jesse Jackson, Mrs. Al Sharpton. Did I say Jesse Jackson? I mean, I'm talking about Al Sharpton. And that's exactly what you're watching.
The wire.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah. Right. For wearing the wire for the government, for the state. I mean, you can, you know, freedom of information at FOIL. You can FOIL that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Actually get these things. Am I to say that this happened? Was I there? No. I'm just trying to say, if you're going to leave it out of community, you have to answer to these things. You have to at least say, well, you know, this is what was going on. And not just that particular fact, but it allows the collusion with the state to go, well, how far do we align? When is the time, you know, and under, you know, a kind of revolutionary kind of leadership, there would be no intention for you. But I want to say this, because I got a rap today. Al Sharpton ain't my leader. And even though I'm vegan, when I'm eating, I ain't down with Peter. I'm trying to do a record with the teacher, not Paul Wall, and not because he's white. I'm just saying, fuck balling if the government caught you with the draws down and shit falling apart. And now y'all panicking? Calm down, because Obama can't save y'all. All this drama for Osama is really to enslave y'all. Skull and bones in a shallow graveyard full of dead brave hearts, tricked by the military who played God. Inshallah, I made it this far. We political prisoners breaking out. What is it about, nigga? Drama, Miss Drama.
Okay, so let me see, right about now it's time to remind you, watch out for the swine flu. I'm on my grind flu. This is revolution, the only solution. Make your contribution. It's a movement, not just the music. Gotta use it, or you will lose it. I get into it, it just oozes. You have to come through out the south. What was the
For you. to the man he killed. He called him a fool. But how an enemy don't come to a gunfight with no guns to draw. The youngin' that you meet is blood-spitting. You consider him a bandit. But how a bandit wrestled so you to the floor and he didn't pull his ratchet. You need to stop it. Neighborhood watcher. If you 17 with OD on, watch out for the neighborhood watcher.
Just in case, you know, everybody forget about that situation. You know, a minute ago we had Adair Pendleton, Cleopatra's little daughter, passed away. She was performing for the president. So, I haven't forgot about Adair Pendleton. So, if we haven't forgot about Hadia, let's not forget about Trayvon. So I played that song for people saying Jimmy Lee can't keep the struggle going on, and that's a little Trayvon hookup. Let me go ahead, make a quick commercial, and I'll be right back with you in about 3 minutes. Ebony, are we gonna do that Time magazine stuff, Eb? Why don't you get out this commercial break and we can take care of that wire. Run and get this, pull this plug up, man. 347-839-8825.
Wouldn't you just like to feel clean again? In Chicago and surrounding areas, Unique Towel Cleaning Service is the best cleaning service. We do basic cleaning and super cleaning, offices and apartment buildings. We will even clean your barber shop, your beauty shop, your spa or restaurant's towels and aprons. Call Unique Towel Cleaning Service at 773-484-5027. Ask us about our very special offer for our new clients. Call us at 773-484-5027 today and feel clean again.
Hello, this is Prentice L. Allison, founder and president of SPSI, Service Perfect Solutions Incorporated, a network of financial service professionals teaching people how to use life insurance and annuities to retain more of their income and pay the least tax on it. Our toll-free number is 877-902-9048. We are proud to have serviced more than 500 clients, national and international, from ages 0 to 99 for the past 30 years. My tip to you today is, if you are a business owner with at least one employee, including yourself, it would behoove you to get business life insurance. Why? Thank you for asking. 7 points I want to leave with you. Your premiums are tax deductible. Your policy bills cash tax deferred. Your cash reserve inside the policy is yours to use tax free. The policy will replace your income if death occurred prematurely. The company will pay the premiums if you become disabled. The policy will return all premiums to you when you retire. Last but not least, make sure your agent is well experienced in business life insurance. Stay tuned for more tips on how to use life insurance and annuities to help yourself today and protect your family and business tomorrow. This is Prentice L. Allison, president of SPSI. Toll-free number is 877 877- 972-902-9048. I wish you well, and to God be the glory.
Give a little tribute to my man Nas Escobar. Sometimes we forget about the people that's right in our faces, you know. Next week I'm gonna have my man Prince Poe back on here. We got a concert coming up.
North Carolina. I need to go check them out, everybody in North Carolina. Go see my man, Prince Paul. I ain't got the date on that. I put it up on my screen, but I got a little black out here on my screen area. I had a lot of people call in yesterday when we was discussing with Dr. Love, my man, Brother Love, on the situation of Condoleezza Rice becoming president. And one letter says that they're not that informed as I am. All they know is Hillary Clinton by being the first lady, by being down with Bill Clinton, by being Secretary of State, and all the props she got that's only right. And my argument to you is that she was a failed Secretary of State. Look at Benghazi. Look at the situation in Russia. Just look at those two things. I mean, look at our foreign policy. Look at how the other countries are looking at us. You see, well, you're the Secretary of the State. You're the face of America. You're America's foreign policy. Now look at us. Look at us in Africa. Did she ever go in Israel and try to negotiate peace? Now let's look at Sister Rice for now. Sister Rice, national security advisor. That means she has an ear to the president. She has an ear to the president. That means she decides who we go to war with, what we go to war with, and why we go to war. Then she was Secretary of State. You know? I mean, she's been around, and she knows more about American government and foreign policy than I say Hillary Clinton. Because you're the wife of the president does not give you that much carte blanche to make you the president. You know? But, like I said, it's always about Africa. And that's what it's about. And so that's why I say the next president is still going to be of colored skin people. So y'all get y'all little hatches and y'all torches out. I'm just going to see if everybody will stand behind Hillary and reject those baboonish cartoons or those ancient mama cartoons. I'm waiting for the time when blacks stop calling us Republicans Toms, man. And that shit hurts. And I like hip-hop. Grimy, gritty, real hip-hop. You know? Like we all kind of, because we got a different thought perspective. Just because we do believe in tax breaks, less regulations, we're pro-business. Some people believe that blacks do need their own. Some people believe that. Other people believe that we don't need to get our own businesses. We need to work for the man and have the man give us stuff. Because I'm in this hip-hop frame of mind, I'm going to play this quote from Grandmaster Melly Mel. Now, this is a Beat Street mix, right? It's a Beat Street. I'm about to play Beat Street. Now, this version of Beat Street is not on the radio Beat Street. It's not the Beat Street that's on the CD or cassette or album. You have the album. This is the movie version. It's in Melly Mel Went Raw. And listen to the lines of Melly Mel saying in the 80s. Let's see how relevant they are right now. 347-838-9825 if you want to call in the last 15 minutes. Thank you.
To do over, I know you paint a better place to live with the colors. with swirling the boys and girls can grow in peace and harmony, and where murals stand on walls so grand as far as the eyes are able to see. I never knew art till I saw your face, that there'll never be one to take your place, cause each and every time you touch a spray paint can, Michelangelo's soul controls your hands, then serenades of blue and red, and the beauty of the rainbow fills your head, crescendo colors playing tune, man, why oh why did I decide so soon, say it 1, 2, 3, 4, and just let me know what you came here for, and just clap your hands, everybody, and let me know that I'm not alone, and if you knew my man when he was alive, scream it out and say, shall fall from the living eye. Tell me who's gonna dream the impossible dreams of the beautiful cities and the islands dreams when your works of art brought into being. All that the ghetto stopped you from seeing. Still life urban masterpiece. Your trademark was written on chains and walls. $1 million gift only God released. And yet you got killed for nothing at all. So after this, there'll be no more hard times, no more bad times, and no more pain. No more chump change, none of that bull. Just movies, museums, in the hall.
Computers. Are we slaves to our computers now? Facebook in it, YouTube in it, Twitter. We can't live without it. I mean, now the computers got us acting like we egomaniacs. We self-righteous. We got a complex. We got this I'm the shit complex that I'm so important that all my thoughts must be shared with the world. I cannot keep no thoughts inside. Well, that's where we are at. I had a friend today come to me in the last 13 minutes. I'm going to talk about my man. I had a friend come to me and tell me, Jimmy, I'm done with politics, man. I just want my pension. I'm done with politics. You know, I ain't voting, I don't care. And, I guess he was looking for me to encourage him to vote, vote, vote. People die for the right to vote, which is true. People did die for the right to vote. You do have that right to vote or not to vote. people since the 80s, since Jesse Jackson run, Jesse run, voting and registering and voting has been such a big deal for blacks. They feel that voting and registering and voting is a way to get them over, especially in the Democratic Party. But they're not doing nothing now, man. Today, the school board had a lawsuit. Parents had a lawsuit trying to stop the closing of 10 schools. The judges looked at them like, man, get this out of here. You know. It's going to be very interesting to see how the school year ends for public school students this year. So I got my daughter in private school. Not because I'm all funny like that, man, because I believe that God should be in school, and I'm a God-fearing individual. Any place that fears God and has God in them, I think, is more protected. You know, you don't hear too many people going and shooting up a Catholic school too tough or running up into spots like that. But, you know, that's just me. You know, that's my whole little beliefs and stuff like that. I'm just going through all these little emails we got here, a lot of them, you know, requesting music and stuff like that. You got juniorunderground@gmail.com. You can send your stuff too. Someone is asking, how can someone like me run for office with the mouth that I have? Why don't you ask Al Franken, all right? The senator, the comedic, the comic senator who's a representative, I want to say Minnesota. Let's be real, people. A matter of, let's be real. Even Sonny Bono was with a congressman. You know, think about the ideas you have for the people, man. And sometimes change is what the people need. And yeah, I'm running Republican. That's how I do it, because I feel that the African Americans need power on both sides of the scales. You know, since all the poor people are screaming, help, 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 we got a Democratic president. And y'all say, oh, the Republicans are not letting them do anything. Oh, no, oh, no. Shit, ask the Hispanics, the LGBTs, the women, big businesses, lawyers, insurance companies. Ask them, Wall Street, ask them if this president has not done anything for them. So when we put ourselves in one boat, asking for justice, all we see is just us. You know. You know, yeah, Obama, we lost the Voting Rights Act, which, you know, it's 50-50 here with me. Good. Essays don't need it. And it's good to show the Black Caucus are not doing anything. A little boy got shot for going home, not doing nothing at all. Innocent boy. But, yeah, he's on trial. All this in the age of Obama. It's funny, it seems like we're going back to the ending of Obama's ascension. The ascension to Obama was like Jenna 6. A bunch of teenage students out there marching over a black tree. And here it is, a teenager getting shot for coming off from the Skittles in a rainy day. You know, but this is the age of Obama. Everybody say, give him a chance. He got a chance. Now he got his time. Now what? We're not going to scream. Not going to fight. Got these black caucuses going around these cities, talking about some urban summit. Give us your ideas. We're leaders. We want to know what y'all want us to do. We don't know what to do. Master ain't going to let us do nothing. We need to have y'all tell us what to do so we can blame it on the Republicans, see, and say, see, they're not letting us do nothing. We ain't got no original ideas. Even though we got H.R. 40 sitting right there on the table, we can shake some shit up right there. I mean, for real, people. For real. We got to realize, man, that it's just us seeking justice. And why you Negroes sitting there, us blacks and Republicans saying that we traded off sellouts, what have the black Democrats done for you? All these Democratic cities are bankrupt. All the cities that was ran by all the urban black cities that's ran by black mayors and Democratic cities are going bankrupt. Every city that has a Democratic mayor in it are suffering hard times, man. In the urban areas, that is. Well, man, Karis once said, why is that? Doom, 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 doom. Yeah, why is that? Well, I hope y'all enjoyed my Nas tribute. I'm having problems with the board. That's why I just ran it out and couldn't get no calls in, even though I had a couple of calls dropped from 216 area code, Cleveland area code, and a Gary area code. So I can get y'all in. The top 10 will be back August, people. So we gave it a break. What's up, Jay Shine? Check in with us. Give us a check in down there in Mississippi. What's going on? Hey, Mr. MDK, man. And I need to feel what's up in Florida, man. All my Florida rappers out there, if y'all listening tonight, you know, give me a call. I might put that on Twitter to see anybody in Florida can give me a call. Let me know what's going on out there. You know what I'm saying? Do we have any spice special coming up tomorrow, Ebony? Just regular music? Hey, what time you looking at Mike Flo? Do you got a concert or something? They on tour, aren't they? Do they got a show tomorrow? You need to get that up. I need that information up. Be back in a minute.
Isolation, exploitation, mutilation, mutation, creation, confirmation to the evils of the world.
Human beings in a mind, what's a mind to a game? rest. The NBA All-Stars are playing next. But right outside that same city, the celebratory atmosphere would change quickly. Who watching the game with me? You know Lil Trayvon was repping his hometown, D-Wade and LeBron. He had just came up from Miami to see his daddy, who knew such a great weekend would end badly. In a place where you move because it's safe for your family, but some people got an ingrown hate for your family. Halftime, just a short break from the slamming. About to go to the store, no cuz, you want some candy? Bet I'll grab you some Skittles, kid. I'll be right back in a little bit. I said I'll grab you some Skittles, kid. I'll probably be right back in a little bit. Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer who don't believe in anything? We make it out alive. Cousin Skittles and an iced tea. Walked out the store and felt the chill of the night breeze. It seemed a little colder than before. He didn't know it was a war, like a soldier in a war that was watching them, clocking them, thinking about stopping them. 9 milli cocking them. Who's this nigga walking through my neighborhood? He fits all the specifics of criminal statistics. He looks suspicious. 911, what's your emergency? A black man walking through my hood perfectly. Stay calm, it's a slow Trayvon, but he wanna be the hero, so he put his cape on. George Zimmerman, neighborhood block captain, loaded clock strapped in, fake cop has been. Got out the car, knowing what the cops ask him. They always get away, this time that will not happen.
Human beings in a mind. What's a mind to a king? What's a king to a god? What's a god to a non-believer who don't believe in anything? We make it out alive. Alright, alright. We're just a wild.
George Zimmerman didn't take his Ritalin. Drunk off adrenaline, says he's making the citizens arrest. Trayvon looks at him vexed. I just walked to the store, nothing more, nothing less. Just steps from his home, he ignores his request. George grabs him, Trayvon swings and connects. Starts screaming out for help, but Zimmerman sees a threat. So he pulls out his gun and he points it at his chest. He fires, but he misses. Trayvon pleads for forgiveness. I didn't do nothing, this is senseless. But George Zimmerman was so vicious, he made sure the second shot hit him. No survivor, no witness. Trayvon never gave his cousins the Skittles. Mr. All-Star game, didn't see another dribble. And George Zimmerman wasn't even arrested. The message is only white life is protected in America.